What's going on, friends? I hope that you're going to take your mom out today for Mother's Day. Moms know how to pray. Speaking of prayers and answers to prayers, I just want to highlight that we had a generous donor who has offered to help cover half the expenses of the parking lot with a dollar-for-dollar match. So, you know, if you feel led to give, you want to get these parking lots cleaned up, repaired. There's some cracks out there your kids could fall into and disappear. And it's nice to get them fixed. When people drive by, they want to see that the church is loved and cared for. So that's pretty cool, man. I was pretty excited about that. And we hope to get that taken care of here pretty soon. So if the Lord puts it on your heart, you can do that up through the month of May. We're going to have that finished. Amen? All right. If you have your Bibles, we're in the book of Judges, chapter 4. And I'm kicking off a little mini-series here, a micro-series, a couple weeks called All Purpose. It's brought to you by Rosie the Riveter. Who remembers Rosie the Riveter? That's like World War II right there. So what she was doing, fixing planes. Building planes. What Rosie reminds me of is how women can do anything. Can I get an amen? Yeah, women can do so many things, and I want to highlight that for you this morning. Now, I want to read Judges chapter 4. I'm going to set the scene here. Verse 1, 2, and 3, we'll read these verses and pray. It says that when Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. And the commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. For 20 years, he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the day that you've made. And I pray, Lord, for ears to hear, eyes to see. I pray, Lord, for righteous women who are growing in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I just thank you for strengthening this church body in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Now, I have a grandma who wanted to be Rosie the Riveter. But, you know, World War II was an interesting time. And she wanted to go to college and work on airplanes and things like that. But she had to stay on the family farm. That's how it went down for her. And, you know, my grandma, she ended up running the entire little town of Bainville, Montana. Have you ever heard of Bainville? A faith fellowship. My grandma Dolores was a Deborah. That's what I'll say about her. Now, I do want to wish all you moms out there happy Mother's Day. I've been married to Elizabeth for 17 years this month. Yeah, 17 years. And I have observed how quietly but powerfully she's demonstrated her leadership ability. First of all, she manages our home and children. And she, you know, that's no joke because they are up in the middle of the night throwing up at the most awkward moments. Come on, somebody. She hears the cries of children who are struggling. I don't hear those cries, unless I want to. And then, you know, secondly and equally important, she's involved in church, man. She's the perfect pastor's wife. She's no easy job. She just had a great weekend doing a mom's thing. I want to thank Linda and all the ladies that put that together, and my wife, Elizabeth. And I mean, these are a lot of work. I think it's a shame that a lot of men fail to realize the incredible potential of godly leadership in women. Think about Deborah. She's called a prophetess. She was a judge in Israel. In Judges chapter 5 and verse 7, it says that when life ceased in Israel, Deborah arose as a mother in Israel. She was a mom, a prophetess, a judge. I mean, this woman had an incredible life. And so she's a woman who won. And what I want to just teach you this morning is how women can win at anything. Her life reveals that. Her life demonstrates leadership and especially the way that leadership works in women. So I'm going to walk you through ways that women can win. Who wants to win this morning? You better believe it. Chapter 4, look at verse 4. Deborah, a prophetess. That's what we said right there. She's a prophetess. She's the wife of a man named Lapidoth. It says she was judging Israel. She was in a governmental position. She'd sit under the palm tree of Deborah. I like that. She had her own palm tree. She sat there between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came to her for judgment. Here's the first thing I want to tell you about winning as a woman. You need to have wise discernment. That's what Deborah had. Deborah had wisdom. She had discernment. And discernment is the ability to judge well. It's spiritual perception, the ability to be perceptive in life. And that reminds me of a woman named Abigail. You know, 1 Samuel 25, verse 3, it says that Abigail had good understanding and wisdom. She saved her husband Nabal from getting killed by King David because Nabal offended David, didn't want to help him out. And yet Abigail came to the rescue. You know, someone has said that discernment is not knowing the difference between just right and wrong, but it's knowing the difference between right and almost right. There's some parenting lessons for you right there. Yeah, it's been called a woman's intuition. You know, many women have spiritual discernment. That's what I've discovered about them. Like Deborah, she's sitting under that palm tree judging the nation. And, you know, the thing about moms, grandmas, wise women that I know, is they can kind of cut to the chase and see the truth in a situation. Moms see through the fluff, and they want the facts. They're very good at that. It's called interrogation, sort of like what the Gestapo did in World War II. Speaking of Rosie the Riveter. I've had my mom, I've had my wife sit down. They know how to get the truth out of little children, how to get the truth from people. It's called discernment. They can see things. You know, many times women are more spiritually perceptive than men. Did you know that? This has just been my observation. Women often see things. Sometimes they sense things. They feel things that men don't always see and men don't always feel. Men will overlook emotions because we're simple creatures and it goes right over our heads. But a lot of times women, they have the ability to see what's hidden beneath the surface. You know, it reminds me of another World War II story. I had a friend who was navigating on a bomber, and he was a grandpa. He was telling us the story. He was colorblind. So when they would fly over German defensive units, he could see the camouflage if it was like hot pink. It stuck out because the way that colorblindness worked in him, he could see clearly what was on the ground. And if you have wisdom, you see truth. You know, I remember my mom used to spend hours and hours talking to me after hours. I'd come home in high school late at night. She'd just sit down, plop a chair. She'd want to know how the night went, who I hung out with, where we went. And I mean, that was being interrogated in some ways, but it did communicate to me that she cared. She had the ability to look beyond the outward and look at the inward. Discernment's there for guidance. Man, I am grateful for the advice of godly women. I think about my grandma. You know, my grandma was one of the best advice givers. You know, she would encourage me to stay in the ministry. She would encourage me that it mattered to work for the Lord, stay in the kingdom, serve God's kingdom. I'm like thankful for the advice of grandma. You know, I'll give you one nugget grandma gave me. One day I asked her, I said, "Grandma, do you think you'd rather be born as a man or a woman?" She thought about it. She looked at me. She said, "I'm pretty happy I'm a woman." She said, "If I was born as a man, I'd have to deal with women." Happy Mother's Day. All right. That was good advice from Grandma. Hey, she gave it out. Discernment is for your protection. I'm sure grateful for the watchful eye of my mother. My mom would be like, "Don't hang out with that kid." And at the time, I was like, "Come on, man, you're crazy. He's my buddy. Like, what's the problem?" And now that my wife, you know, is this like mom, she's like telling our kids, "Don't hang out with that kid." And I'm still like, "What's the problem?" Until I met the kid's parent. And then I was like, "Mom is right. You don't hang out with that kid." That's discernment. See, a woman with wisdom will win in life. And what you need is wisdom to raise your children, to work with knuckleheaded husbands, to make the right decisions, sometimes even to know what to cook for dinner. Come on, somebody. You need wisdom and discernment. That's what Deborah had. I'm teaching you how to win this morning. Here's a second way you can win, all right? Look at verse number 6. It says, Deborah went and called for Barak, and she said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go," someone say go, "go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 troops from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera." This was a prophecy she remembered. Someone had said, "I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitudes at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." She remembers the word someone gave. Here's what it tells me about Deborah. Deborah had tenacious faith. She was in it to win it. She could see, she could sense the potential that existed for victory. Because, you know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And here's Sisera, a man who had oppressed Israel for 20 years with 900 chariots. Those were like tanks in the ancient world. And apparently the men of Israel had given up all hope that anything could be done about it. But Deborah could see in her spirit that the mighty Sisera was about to take a fall. She had no access to an army, but what she managed to do was stir up a general named Barak who had access to a 10,000-man army. She knew how to get him motivated. See, faith is the ability to see in the unseen realm. And what faith requires is a capacity that you own. You know, your capacity has the ability to grow. And when I think about faith, it's interesting. It's likened to a mustard seed, the smallest seed that exists, and yet it can grow. In fact, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says that faith can grow exceedingly. It can swell up. And I've watched as women, sometimes they have the ability to go right to the top. They can step in places, lead things. They've got a capacity to manage, a capacity to lead in the right setting. See, what faith demands is a certain tenacity. I think about the parable of the persistent widow, Luke chapter 18. And Jesus is talking about this widow who would not give up. She said, "Get justice for my adversary," over and over again. It reminds me of my mom praying for me all those years ago. She was praying. She wasn't giving up. She told me it's not an option for her prayers not to work. She kept hitting it. She had a tenacity to believe that her children were going to serve the Lord. See, Deborah has this capacity. She's got tenacity. She's also patient and persuasive. She patiently persuaded Barak. Faith and patience, the Bible says, will inherit the promises. And when you're faithful, when you're patient, when you stick with it, you can see promises come to pass. That's why you got to be patient with people. Patient with children, patient in difficult situations. If you can have patience, you can hold on to the promises of God. And you can be persuasive. I want to remind you, 1 Peter chapter 3, you can win a man over without even saying a word. And all the men said, amen. Yeah, it just takes a little bit of that patience, that love, that persuasion, some tenacity, the capacity in a woman. And that means that you never give up. You're patient. You're persistent, you have endurance, and you lay hold of things. That's what Deborah had. She had a tenacious faith to believe that God could do the impossible. Let me give you another way to win here. I'm teaching you how to win. Who wants to win? Yeah. Remember Donald Trump used to campaign, said you're going to get so sick of winning all the time? You're going to be tired of it. That's what women can have. They can have wins everywhere. Win number 3, verse 8. Barak said to her, "If you go with me, then I will go." But he said, "If you're not going to go with me, I don't want to go." That sounds like things that I say to my wife all the time. So she said, "I will go with you." But she said, "If I go, I'm just warning you, there'll be no glory in the journey you're going to have. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And it says that Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now here's something that Deborah had. Here's a third thought here. Deborah had immovable focus. Someone say focus. Focus is like when you're locked in. There's a concentrated effort you're making. That's what Queen Esther had. Esther was so locked in, when her uncle Mordecai called upon her, she said, "If I perish, I perish." I mean, she was totally locked into the mission at hand, completely focused. You know, the thing about the society we live in today, social media is trying to steal your attention. Did you know that? And I know how it is. It used to be TV, and people used to watch TV, but now you sit with your phone on the phone watching AG and TikTok, watching TV, and you're completely distracted. That's how people live. They're so distracted by society, by everything going on in the world today. And they say that focus is the currency of the future, and if you can learn how to focus, you can conquer anything. Because your focus is going to be the thing that allows you to go ahead, own the future, put you over the top. Focus will solve the problems you have with your money, with your marriage. If you can just apply your energy and faith in the right direction, channel it, focus it, you can solve anything. You can win. Focus is a difference maker. It's a force multiplier. Focused people rise to the occasion. I think about Deborah said. She said to Barak, "Go." She challenged Griff, didn't know what to do with life. And I remember his wife would encourage him. She'd say, "I think that you could do better than what you're doing. And I challenge you to maybe get some education. And, you know, if you learn the skill set or computer program, you could do something." And he took what she said. He applied himself for several months, ended up getting a computer job that he's still doing today. And he credits his wife for challenging him to be able to do that. Like, she motivated him to be focused. She harnessed that energy with him, and he got a great job. Focused people inspire you. You think about godly women, they have the ability to stir men up and inspire them to do great exploits that they otherwise could not. I think about Barak right here. I mean, he's depending upon the faith of this woman. And he said, I won't even go to battle without you. And she's telling him, if you go to me, if you go to battle with me, you will get no credit for it. But he wanted to go with her. He was totally set. You know, I think about my sister, Jessica. I've had great experience, you know, with women in my life. They have blessed it so much. My sister, Jessica, has really good focus. She was focused. She's an incredible steward of her finances. And sometimes I look at, you know, the way she lives, and I think, man, that inspires me to be wiser with money and more disciplined. And I remember, you know, I was pretty discouraged because we were looking for a church building. We wanted to build something. We owned a piece of property, and we couldn't get a deal done. And I just was like, oh, man, down, frustrated. And my sister was the one who reminded me, hey, there's a property close by that's a church building, and I think we ought to go look at buying that. I mean, she came to me with the idea, and I'm so glad she did. The rest is history. Here we are. And it reminds me of how, like, I was grateful for her. I was thinking about, man, if I have the help of my sister Jessica, Pastor Daniel running the church, man, with finances, I feel like we can accomplish anything. I mean, what a blessing. She has focus in these things. See, focus is what puts things into perspective for your life. There's something about focus that is just incredible. It allows you to stay on track. It allows you to have that certain level of tenacity. Focus will do that. Let me give you another thought here. I like this 14th verse. Jump down to verse 14. Deborah then said to Barak, up! Someone say up. Let me give you a lesson dealing with men, ladies. She said go, and she said up. That's all men need. We're simple creatures. I mean, go, up. This is the day the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone before you? Barak went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him, and the Lord routed Sisera and all of his chariots and his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted his chariot. That means he fled the scene on foot. Here's what she did. She took decisive action, immediate action, without delay. Think about Ruth. Ruth was so quick to act. When Naomi came to her and Naomi said, you need to go to Boaz, who is your nearest relative. She, that very night, went to Boaz without delay. Now, there's a fine line I've discovered between impulsivity and action, and that fine line is called procrastination. And Deborah did not procrastinate. You know, the thing I've learned about men, they have the tendency to put off a crisis. They kind of wait for a convenient time to mow the yard. They want to wait for the weather to be ready. They will find the path of least resistance sometime when it comes to disciplining your children. You know, which is easy to put off. I found disciplining your children requires a little effort. I remember having, you know, Titus being 5 years old, and I'd have to discipline him, and he would just remind me, Dad, I'm just a little blind in those moments. Paying the bills. You know how you pay your bills on time? Auto pay. Come on, somebody. You don't got to think about it. But I find that men, sometimes they put these things off. You know, we will often search for the path of least resistance. And I had another buddy one time. He could not discuss issues with his wife. And, you know, it was kind of like sad to watch because he was just, you know, in trouble. He couldn't communicate. And I would tell him, you have to find a moment. There's rarely a convenient time. And you can't put it off. And sadly, his inability to confront situations and not take action led to his divorce. You have to know when to take action. Deborah did not hesitate. When Barak hesitated, Deborah said, up! She didn't flinch. She recognized the moment. She said, Barak, you've got the manpower. You've got the momentum. You're in the moment. Let's do it. Seize the day. Do it right now. And she went. That reminds me of my grandma. You know, my grandma had all these things she was doing. And in Bainville, in those days, they were having a little struggle in the town. They didn't have any water up there. Water rights were in question. There was a farmer who had rights to the reservoir, but he wouldn't give it any rights to the town. They were having a water shortage. So my grandma, she had owned another business. I think it was in Helena. She owned a restaurant, a pancake house. She got a phone call one day. She said that the people in Bainville had said, hey, this farmer is here in town, he's at the bar, and we've got him drunk, and he's willing to sign those water rights over. And we need you to get here as soon as you can. And Grandma saw her moment. She knew someone who had a plane, And that guy flew her from Helena to Bainville in an hour. She got over there. She got those documents signed. Thank you so much. And the next time she saw him 3 months later, he shook his fist at her. Couldn't believe that, that they'd done that. But she got those water rights for the town, man. She knew how to take advantage of that moment. Take decisive action when the moment is there for it. I'm grateful for godly, focused, fearless women. Here's Sisera and his 900 chariots totally defeated. Totally defeated. And I like how chapter 5 ends. The land had rest for 40 years. If you want rest in your home, you're going to have to do like Deborah. Deborah was locked in, man. She was focused. You're going to have to use your discernment. Maybe you need eyes to hear what the Spirit is saying. Your eyes to see, ears to hear. How many of you feel like you could use some wisdom and spiritual understanding in your life? This is one of the greatest things I pray for when it comes to parenting, when it comes to relating, when it comes to working with people to solve problems. You need discernment. Discernment, wisdom. That's what Deborah had. Deborah was a wise woman. And I want to pray that over you. I just feel like there's always the opportunity for wisdom to increase in our lives. Lots of wisdom. I feel like the Lord's going to give you that. Deborah had tenacious faith. Is your faith tenacious enough? Because I watch people who get too passive. They don't hold on to the promises of God. It's like it pushes them off. You got to have some tenacity. Reminds me of a story I heard about a Bushmaster snake. Have you ever heard of the Bushmaster snake? It's one of the most deadly pythons in the Amazon. And they had a team of scientists that finally had caught one. They put it in a crate, loaded that crate on a boat that was in the Amazon River, and took that boat 700 miles through the jungle around the coast of South America and the Atlantic Ocean on its way to North Carolina to study it. And as the captain was making the rounds on the boat, they noticed that the crate was dislodged. And they went and looked, and that snake was not in the crate. It was gone. They searched the top part of the boat. They searched the midsection. And they found no snake. And they concluded that the Bushmaster snake has got to be in the cargo hold, the lowest spot. So they got the bravest couple guys they could who went down with flashlights, knives. And they were down there looking in the dark cargo hold. And as they finally came to the front part of the ship, they looked up. And they saw a tail that was there. But that tail wasn't moving. It was stationary. And they followed the flashlight up until they saw a pair of eyeballs. And you know what it was? It was a cat that was a stowaway with her kittens on the boat. And she had killed the Bushmaster snake. The strongest, scariest python in the jungle. She'd scratched it out and killed it. Which tells you, if your faith is strong enough and you have a great enough cause, you can do anything. The tenacity of a woman in battle is a powerful thing. Don't underestimate the power of your faith. You can do anything. You can win at life if you will lay hold of the promises of God. If your faith is tenacious and you don't sit back. Maybe it has to do with your focus. Can you stop what you're doing and learn how to lean in? And I watch when like working with children to help solve problems or help them grow. And I've seen wise, godly women who know how to stop and harness the energy and the effort when they need to in the moment. Making sure that maybe your date nights are a priority or relationship is thriving. Maybe it's your spiritual focus. Maybe it's targeted prayer and fasting to fix something. If you can focus in that direction, like Deborah was able to, her focus inspired Barak. And if you can focus on the right thing at the right time, I'm telling you, your faith can go to the next level and you can solve problems. Maybe it's about being willing to act. You know, Judges chapter 4 is such an interesting story because Deborah got the credit for winning the war. But if you read down a few verses, you read about another woman whose name is Jael. And Jael was there when Sisera came running. You know, he came running from the battle. She had a tent. She said, you can stay in my tent. And she did something very sneaky and smooth. He was thirsty, and she gave him milk to drink. The thing about milk, it is like, it helps you sleep. It knocked that dude out. And then she went and got a tent peg and a mallet, and she put that stake through his cranium. Ended that battle. She was not afraid to take decisive action. She took action in the moment. You have to be willing to act when the moment requires it. That requires wisdom. That requires faith. That requires focus. I just feel in my spirit like there's some women here that you're going to win. Ooh, I feel something stirring up in me. I feel like, you know, some of the battles that you've lost, some of the things that you've had to go through brought you to a moment here, and you're going to win. I feel like the next, you know, year, the next season of your life is going to be about winning instead of losing. Come on, somebody. And I want to pray that over you. I want to pray wins everywhere around the room. How many want wisdom? How many feel like you hold on to promises? I feel it in my heart. So I want to pray that in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for different perspectives in life, increasing wisdom. I thank you, Father, for eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit is saying this morning to the church. I pray for a level of confidence to rise up in women of God. And where there's no fear, no shame, I pray, Lord, I pray that women would be able to motivate husbands and fathers to be better men, stronger leaders. Lord, I pray that they could do it without manipulation, but by the example of a godly woman. I pray that in the name of Jesus, a tenacious faith that's able to hold on to the promises of God. In Jesus' mighty name. I just thank you, Lord, for your grace. Oh, you know, it's funny, man. When you're praying, I'm just searching my heart, and I pray, I look for people, and I just check to see if the Lord is saying things in moments. And then sometimes I look across the room, and you get someone that gets highlighted to you like a flash of light. And I stick with that. So I'm over here praying, and I see my friend Marie over there. Yeah, I know you're going through some struggles here. But, you know, I just sit there. I feel like that there's that verse in the book of Exodus. When they came into the promised land, the Egyptians that you see today, you'll see no more forever. And some of the battles that you've been going through, I'm going to pray this next season is going to bring great answers, great victories. So, Lord, I pray over her in Jesus' name. I pray that the battles and the Egyptians and the struggles and the trials, Father, I thank you for taking them away. Make it easy. I pray, Lord, for the perfect situation to come into her life. Easy, smooth. Father, your peace, your plan, your purpose. And Lord, I just thank you. She's going to lay hold of the promises of God. Yeah. Marie, I feel like the Lord's got a purpose for you. Stay faithful to him. Watch what he does. He's going to open up doors for you. You're not stuck in the situation. God will move you. God will bless you. I love the Lord. What would you do without him? What would you do without him? His watchful eye over you in your life. Now, I was reading through some news stories. I came across a story of a Korean missionary couple who had adopted a baby. And, you know, when the baby boy got old enough, he wanted to know why his features were more Asian than his white parents. And so they waited for the right time, and they told him the story. You know, this was in the Korean War. And the North Koreans were just chasing people. Everyone was trying to get out of North Korea. They were taking any way they could get across the border. And so they were kind of fleeing there in the night. And as they were going across a large bridge, a woman heard the cries of a baby. It would take a woman to do that. Because as I just told you, men have selective hearing. No one's hear cries of babies. She heard the cries of a baby. She said, stop the car. And her husband was like, we're trying to flee. I'm not stopping the car. Stop the car, she said. They heard just like that. They heard cries of a baby. She heard it. They went looking. They came around and went down beneath the bridge. And you know what they found there? They found a woman who was naked, covering a baby. She was fleeing. Her water burst. She gave birth to the baby. She took everything she had off, her clothes, her underwear. She put them around the baby. And the woman was froze to death, but the baby was living. And that's how they took that baby back to America. What would drive a mother to do that? It's great love. It's the great love of a mother. And that love is great, but there's a love that's even greater than that. And that's the love that God has for you, the love of Jesus, which is even greater than that of a mother. Incredible love that God has for his people. And I just want to give you the opportunity this morning, if you don't feel loved, if you've never accepted God's love for you, it is the most freeing, wonderful sensation in the world. It is the ability to relieve you of sin and stress. It eases the separation between you and God. And if you've never accepted that love, I just want to give you a chance. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning, if you say, Pastor, I want God's love in my heart for real. I want to sense it and know it. You can know it. You can have it. You can receive his love for you. Now, let's pray that love this morning. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I pray for a great sense, a real sense of the love that you have for me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. I want to live for you because you know me and love me. And I receive that love in Jesus' name. That's the most incredible thing about God's love. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do about it. All you can do is receive it because it's freely given. And it's so hard for flawed people like you and me to wrap your minds around that. He loves you with an everlasting love, a great love, specifically made for you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up this morning. Good to have you in the house of God today. I hope that you're able to spend time with your mom. I hope that you're not mad at me for making a joke that my grandma told me about women. Father, we just thank you today for your mercy that's going with us. I pray, Lord, that as we leave here today, we'd walk out of here with confidence. I pray, Lord, for struggles and battles that maybe we've been faced with. You give us that wisdom, that focus, that perspective to get through. I pray for a spirit of conquering and winning to be part of our lives. I pray that in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, we love you. If you want prayer, we'd love to pray for you. You are a blessing. And the altars are open. We love you. We'll catch you all next week. God bless you very much. Amen.